Okay, so ways to use the Facebook platform. There are various ways you can use the platform. You can use them inside Facebook as a traditional Facebook app. So these are the applications that you would have seen, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago when the platform launched. And they're generally called Canvas apps, which means that they're inside the Facebook canvas. So if you think of the Facebook website, what you see inside is the canvas. And anything that's rendered inside is the Facebook canvas. So do you know of any Facebook apps that use such a interface, a canvas? Facebook.com, yeah. A lot of websites used that when that was popular, and it still is popular, but it's sort of died down now. This is part of my CS50 final project from 2 years ago, and it's called Crimson Dining, and you can see the menus from HUDs, and you could argue that you can also see that on the HUDs website, but the great thing was you could see it on your Facebook profile as well. And now, since that was moved to the Boxes tab on your profile, it's not as effective, but it's still there. And that's what you can do with any kind of Facebook application. So for example, Pandora has an application like that. There's other applications that you probably have a lot of those on your Facebook profile if you have one. And can also use them on external websites and applications, and this is something that Facebook has been sort of advertising over the past few months. You can, instead of creating your applications within Facebook, you can say, if you're YouTube and you want to let your users tell their friends what they're interested in, what videos they've been looking at, you can implement Facebook Connect and have them sort of connect with their friends on your external website or application. And YouTube, as I said, has actually done this in August or something. And Yahoo has also done it. A lot of big websites and a lot of small websites as well have implemented Facebook Connect. So it's a very easy way to implement the Facebook social graph into your website without significantly changing the interface of your application. Integration methods. You can get social graph data with any of these methods. You can get boxes in users' profiles with any of these methods, like that. You can also post to users' streams, send them notifications, et cetera, with any Facebook platform integration method. So you know, this can get pretty annoying. You know, if you can imagine, you know, all these messages popping up about, you know, so and so super poked you, and so and so sent you a box of chocolates. You know, used in moderation, this can be a very effective Web 2.0 tool. So there are several components of the Facebook platform. The first one is the Facebook API. And do you know what an API is? You know what it stands for? I don't know if David went over this in lecture, but it means application programming interface. And it's a way you can, you know, in various languages, you can just write something and have it do something on the Facebook website, or in the Facebook platform. And the Facebook API basically lets you read and write stuff to the Facebook universe. So you can, for example, get data about your users' friends. You can write data, say you can set your status in your Facebook application. And sort of related to the API is FQL. And FQL is sort of Facebook's version of SQL, structured query language. And this is Facebook's query language. So for example, you can get your users, you get your friends, I don't know, the affiliations, what networks they're in, via this FQL, and we'll see what this actually means. It's basically a structured way to get a lot of data, or you know, specific amount of data from Facebook, and it's very efficient and very, very clever. So we'll look over that. And XFBML and FBML. XFBML is the external version of FBML, and what FBML is, as you might have guessed, it comes from HTML. ML standing for markup language, so it's the Facebook markup language, and it's a way to embed, say, you know, your user's name, your user's profile picture in your own website. And this is very useful, and it's used in all the integration methods apart from, you know, external non-website applications. FBJS is not as core as the other things, but it's a way of embedding JavaScript in your own Facebook websites, and it's a security method that they employ, and you can read about that later. So the Facebook API, its interfaces are available for over 20 different languages, including your favorite language, PHP, and C, and C++, though it's questionable why you would want to use that for the Facebook API. You can interface, you know, so if you're writing your application in Ruby, for example, you can still interface with the Facebook API. If you're writing it in JavaScript, there's a ton of ways to do Facebook stuff there. So basically, you're not limited by the language that you're using. So in this seminar, we're going to use PHP because that's my favorite. But you know, you can be using any language, and all of these things will be applicable. It allows both read and write access to Facebook using the Facebook API and FQL, which allows read access. And FQL allows structured read access to Facebook data. Okay, let's see. I'm going to show you an example of how you would set up a Facebook application. And sorry if this takes a while, but I wanted to walk you through how you might do such a thing. There are a lot of instructions online, but it's not immediately clear. I was testing out Firefox personas. That's sort of embarrassing, but it's not. Yeah. Anyway, facebook.com/developers. So you want to sign into your Facebook profile. Go to facebook.com/developers to sign into the Facebook developer site. So this is sort of a separate website on Facebook where you can learn about how to create Facebook applications. So let's sign in. So here you can see a nice new link here, set up new application. So that's what I'm going to do. And then we choose an application name. So let's call it, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Shout out at an application name.
Happy Face.
Happy Face, okay. You're not allowed to have an application with the name Face in it.
Happy App.
Oops. And.
So where is the unique namespace in Force? Do these names have to be unique, or just the canvas URLs?
I believe these names have to be unique too. I'm not quite sure. We can try creating one that's the same. Okay. It lets you do anything. You can name your application anything, but your canvas URL, we'll talk about later, has to be unique. Yeah. All right, so now that we've clicked on Create, we have our application page, and this is where you can see the settings for your application. So you can type a description, set an icon, if you're good with Photoshop. As Chris pointed out, you don't want to tell anyone your API key or your secret, because these are obviously secret. So this is your application settings page, and you can set all sorts of settings for your application. And how a Facebook application works, we'll talk about a canvas application here, is that you have your Facebook application, which you access via apps.facebook.com/whatever your canvas URL is. We'll talk about canvas URL later. And accessing that sends Facebook over to your own home, your own website, your own web server, and it'll start issuing requests there. So it's like a filter through your own over your website, and it'll show you. And it'll do various things to make it integrate with Facebook, and we'll see later what that means. So you'll want to use your CS50 cloud account or some other web hosting account to actually host your website, because Facebook will not host your website for you. So first of all, I'm going to create a directory on my own server. I'm using HCS's server right now, but I'll create a new directory called Happy App, right? So inside here, I will put my Facebook application. And this is in the directory here is a bit different from the CS50 cloud, but it's basically my username /public HTML/ whatever your directory name is. Okay. So that means that if I create a page here, if I go to this is my cloud account. If I go to, you know, Happy App, then I obviously get my index.html here. Hello. So here I'm going to do something with the settings. So first I'm going to go to Canvas, and then I can choose a unique Canvas page URL, which will be where my application appears on Facebook. So I have apps.facebook.com. I can't change that. And slash, I can choose whatever I want. Let's see if Happy App is taken. I don't know. And then here, this is important. We set the URL of wherever our website is actually hosted. And this is called the callback URL. It's called the callback URL because Facebook will call back to it whenever it receives a request for anything under apps.facebook.com/happyapp. So if I request, say, apps.facebook.com/happyapp/index5.html, it'll go to this URL /happy5.html, index5.html. Okay. So it's sort of like a translation between the two URLs. So let's save changes.
Can we do that again?
Yeah. someone else had taken the Happy App Canvas page URL. So let's say Happy App, my Happy App. And then here we actually want to set the render method to FBML. There are two methods, iframe and FBML. iframe is when you want to put your website inside a container of sorts in your Facebook app, in the Facebook website. And FBML is when you want Facebook to download your website for you and then render that using Facebook's markup language, FBML. iframe is sort of recommended because it's faster and it's less fewer resources for Facebook because it doesn't need to download the data. But FBML is slightly easier to use right now, and it has. I wasn't able to get it working on all browsers, so I'm going to use FBML for now. Click save changes. Yeah, I think there's just something buggy with my Firefox instance on Mac OS X. All right, so Happy App. So now if I go to apps.facebook.com/happyapp, sorry, my Happy App, which was the Canvas URL, I should get. What should I get? Okay. This is not what I should get. Let's see. Happy App. File not found. Okay. Oh, sorry, I forgot to type my username. So if you go back to the facebook.com/developers and go to the My Applications page, which incidentally it will also appear in your chat bar down here. If you go to developer here in your bookmarks, it'll also take you to the Facebook developer site after you've installed it. So you can change your settings here, edit settings. And then we can go to Canvas and then fix our URL here. All right, so now if we refresh, we should get hello. Yeah, so that's not a very interesting Facebook application, but it is a Facebook application. It's running off the Facebook website. So now we're going to add some interesting stuff here. So what do we want to do? First of all, we probably want people to be able to log in to our website. And actually, I'm going to make this not an HTML, but an index.php. So it's going to be written in PHP. And you'll see why. So first of all, we want to include some code here that reads the Facebook API that sort of initializes it so that we can use it, similar to how you might have initialized ncurses or any other framework that you used in CS50. So we're going to go to developers page. There's actually very good documentation here where you can just click get started quickly with some example code, !! You click that, and then we can just copy this code, and it'll actually do a lot of things that we want to do in any Facebook application. So let's cheat a bit here and paste the code in. I'm not used to Windows. Please bear with me. Let's see. Sorry. Wait, is that not? All right, OK. Let's get out of Nano. So now we've written all this code. It didn't take that long. And now we have some requisite things here. Require wants Facebook.php. This refers to the Facebook API client library, which we haven't downloaded yet, but we have to. So let's first do that. Facebook.php will contain all the functions. So this is like including, say, standard.io.h or ncurses.h in your C programs. So you have to include this. So let's download. Here, they actually provide very handily. They provide the commands that you need to download the latest version of the Facebook platform library. So let's do that. So wget is a program that lets you download stuff to from the command line. So we did that. We're going to untar it. This is extracting it. And the instructions are on the page. OK. And then if we go into the Facebook platform directory, you'll see that there's footprints and PHP. Footprint is their example application, which you might want to take a look at. It's pretty good. And PHP is the actual code that is the Facebook API. So this is the code that has all the functions in the Facebook API. This is the script that you'll include in your own application to start using the Facebook API. So let's move the PHP directory out of out of Facebook platform, and then let's call it Facebook. And then we can go to index.php, and then do Facebook/Facebook.php. So basically, this is Facebook. The Facebook directory is what contains all the Facebook libraries, and then Facebook.php is the main Facebook API entry point. So we have our API key in secret, which we copied from the settings page. And again, don't let anyone see that. And then here we have Facebook equals new Facebook. This doesn't mean create a new Facebook. It means create a new Facebook object. So this is very similar to the stock object, which you used in PSAT 7. And it lets you create a new instance of a Facebook API client. And then the first thing you might want to do if you're requiring login for your users is to get the user ID of the currently logged in Facebook user. So when you do this, two things happen. First thing, if the user is not logged in, then he or she will be taken to the login page, and then they'll be asked to log in. And if they don't log in, then they'll be redirected away from your application. And if they do log in, you'll get this user ID back. And this is their Facebook user ID. So let's see here. The first thing that this application does is do this, echo, hello, and all this code. What do you think this does? Sorry?
Create the user.
We're not creating any new users. Sorry? Greet the new user. So, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it is greeting the user. Well, it says in the comment. Well, yeah, it is greeting the user because it says hello, and then this weird tag here, FB name. So this is not one of the HTML tags that you saw in PSAT 7 or in previous HTML. It's actually one of the FBML tags, and it includes some attributes like UID, which is the user ID, say user ID here. And then use you, which is an attribute saying if the application, if the UID is the same as the person who's logged in, then use you instead of their name. So for example, you might want to, so in your application, you could imagine a setting where you're referring to users. But so for example, you might want to say the last person who logged in is whoever the person is. But if the person who last logged in was you yourself, then you might want to say the person who last logged in is you. And that's what use you does. And there are a couple other attributes in FB name that are useful for possessives and other kind of grammar things. So basically, FB name, UID, we include the user ID here, if you remember from your PHP. That takes the user ID that we got from the require login function and then puts it in here. And then it greets the user. So let's see what this looks like. We go back to our happy app and then refresh. So this is what part of the code invoked this? Which line?
Require login,
yeah. So the require login pops this up the first time a user accesses a Facebook application. And basically this is letting the user toss an application, toss its terms of service, basically means that the user has agreed that the application can access your data. And so you click allow. And then here, it says, hello, Keita Uchiyama. So you can see here that it took my user ID and then put it in the FB name tag. And then the FB name tag was magically transformed into my name. And this is one of the things that FBML does for you. It takes one of these tags that begin with FB, like here, and then it converts them into whatever the required markup is to display something like this. OK? Does that make sense? So here you can see there's a list of my friends' UIDs as well, some of my 25 of my friends. And this is the part of the code that's doing it. From line 22 here, we see here we're using an object called Facebook API client. And this is just something that you use in the Facebook API. And we're calling the friends get API function. And this is actually the friends.get API function. And you can look up what it does by using the wiki. If you go to wiki.developers.facebook.com, this will be on a slide later. Go to API, and then if we look down, here we can see all the API methods that we can use. And it's a very good idea if you're starting making your Facebook application to look through this list so you can see what data is and isn't available to you as a Facebook developer. And you'll find out that a lot of data is available. So there's a lot of things you can do with this. So we scroll down to friends.get. This is one of the first API functions. You can see here, it returns the Facebook user IDs of the current user's Facebook friends. And there are some attributes here, parameters, as they're called here, that you can use. And Here you can see that it's not using any of the parameters. It's just using the default parameters. So it's getting all the users' Facebook friends, or rather their UIDs. Okay. And this here we're using a PHP function called ArraySlice, which takes takes a slice of an array. So here we have the whole array of the user IDs. We're taking 0 to 25 of them. So we're taking the first 25 user IDs from the friends array. So you can see here that friends.get probably returns an array, and it does. And then we're using the for each construct to return each of the friends' UIDs by, because friends is an array of UIDs, so friend is a integer, or string actually, but an integer. And then we're echoing each of their user IDs. So what can we do besides just echoing their user IDs? Because you don't usually remember people's UIDs. So what you can do is, what can you do? There's already one tag that we've seen here that we could use here. Yeah, FB name. So if we say FB name, UID equals, and then the UID, this would probably work, right? So probably you get the names of each of my friends, the 25 friends that I have here. Fresh, and here you can see a list of my 25 friends. So it's very simple, right? You don't need to do any sort of, any hard coding to get this kind of functionality. And I'll show you another tag here that you can use, and that's profile pic. So you can get your friends' profile pics by using the FB profile pic tag. Very simple. Let's not put a new line on every line. And then if I hit refresh, I get 25 friends' profile pics. And you can see here that many of these are not available. That's either because they blocked me or because they blocked Facebook platform in general. So they're not available to Facebook platform or it's their privacy settings in some way.
Does the API reveal what you don't know? I mean, is there a way to ask, am I allowed to see a piece of data X?
No, not really. The question was, will using FB profile or will the API let me see what I'm not allowed to see?
And can you query privacy settings?
Can you query privacy settings? You cannot explicitly query them, but you might get errors in some functions if you're not allowed to see them. In many cases, they'll just filter them out, as in this case. So here I've got a list of my friends in a table. So this is just some of the ways of using the Facebook API. So the API is these functions like friends to get, and then the FBML, which is these FB name and FB profile pic tags that we've used here. We can also use some extended parts of the Facebook API to do more interesting things. So for example, what if I wanted to set my status from a Facebook application? If someone came to your application, you might want them to advertise your, this is a bad example because it's not allowed. But if you wanted to your users were so proud that they were using your application that they wanted to say what stats they got in your game or like what food they were eating at HUD's today, you can do that using the user's set status function. So here we're gonna set the user's status here, and here you can do this by using the Facebook API client again. What you do, user's set status, and this is one of the functions of the Facebook API that you'll find on the wiki. User's set status, user's dot set status. And again, the Facebook app API documentation is the canonical place to look for this kind of thing. So here you can see it takes a, what does it take? It takes a, it's a bit confusing, but if you look at the, the Facebook, the users.setStatus, here we go. Status string, the status message is set. So this is the only required thing, the required parameter. So if we say users.setStatus, I am using the Happy App. And then this will set your user's status, right? Does that make sense? Now that's not actually how it works because it's sort of dangerous to let any application set your user status. So you need to do something called get extended permissions. And extended permissions are just a bunch of, there are about 10, 15 extended permissions that let your application do more things. And getting these extended permissions requires your user to click through some dialogues that say, yes, I will let the Happy App set my status. And so if you try doing this, let's try doing this by refreshing, by setting the status. You'll see you get a fatal error here. Fatal error, uncode exception, Facebook REST client exception with message. Updating status requires the extended permission status update. So obviously we need a extended permission. And how do we get such a thing? The easiest way is to use an FBML tag, another one. So get extended permission to set status. Let's see. Is to use the prompt permission FBML tag. And perms is the permissions that we're going to get. And the sets, you can set a user status by getting either the read stream or publish stream. You can get the set status extended permission by getting the publish underscore stream extended permission. And this will let you publish to a user stream. So grant permission to read to set status updates. FB prompt permission. Remember to close your tags as in XHTML. And then hit refresh. Sorry. Syntax error. What's wrong? I try to type non-PHP in the PHP code log. Okay, so we're still getting the fatal error because we haven't actually allowed the application to set statuses. So we want to click this link that I've created, grant permission to set status updates. This was created by the prompt permission FBML tag. So we click that, and then we get this dialog pop-up saying, allow Happy App to publish posts or comments without prompting me. So I say, allow publishing. And then if we hit refresh again, see, nothing happened, no fatal error. So what does that mean? That probably means that my status was changed by this evil application. So if we go to my profile, you'll see that now I am using the Happy App, has been set from the Happy App. So voila, that's how it works. And you can see it's in my stream as well. So that's set status. So there are these very interesting things that you can do with the Facebook API besides just reading data. You can set things, you can send notifications to users. You can do all sorts of things, lots of cool things that emulate what Facebook does. But you know, you can do creative things with this. So do you have any questions about what you might want to try doing, or like, is this possible, or like, do you want to see? Is there anything that you want to see? No? Did I scare you away from using the Facebook platform? Yep.
I'm curious to hear a little about how this works behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. How does Facebook manage to present this data so rapidly for arbitrary numbers of users and arbitrary numbers of applications?
Right. So the question was, how does Facebook manage to show all this data so quickly and when you have all these applications and many users? What's the back end? What's backing it? Well, there are a lot of things behind the scenes that make it fast. And some of the things that are that have been published in Facebook blog and stuff like that, there are technologies like Memcached, which is a caching layer. PHP has some caching going on in PHP. There's some weird stuff going on that you won't see in CS50. And there are the database is optimized, and there's basically a lot of caching and making sure that everything is efficient. And it's basically just really well written, efficient PHP. Yeah. I hope that sort of answered your question, but yeah, it's vague. So let's see. Oh, I didn't talk about FQL. So FQL is very, very cool. And I say this because it really is. So let's see that we wanted to get, so we saw that we could get our friends by using the friends get function. But friends get isn't great in the sense that if you just run friends get, you can just get your friends. You don't get any of their other attributes, right? You don't know their name. You had to call fb name to get their name. you didn't get any of their other attributes. So you can actually use FQL, which is basically very similar to SQL and MySQL, in the sense that you can get structured data by using SQL-like language. And it's implemented by a series of pseudo tables. They're not really tables because it's not a MySQL database. But let's see. If we go to the FQL page in the Facebook Developer Wiki, you can see here that you can issue queries like this. Select name, pick from user where UID equals such and such, or UID equals such and such. So this looks very, very similar to the SQL that you used in PSET 7, right? Or PSET, another piece. Yeah, 7. So what this is doing, you can probably imagine, is that it's getting the user's name and the picture, it's a URL, and from the user table. So user appears to be a table, because if you remember, anything after from was the table name. So from user, where their UID is such and such, or UID is such and such. So basically, this is a way to get data from Facebook using using SQL-like syntax. And there's a list of tables down here, FQL tables. So click around in the wiki to see what's available. And there are all these tables available. Album, application, comment, da-da-da-da-da. So all these tables, I wrote that table. There are all these tables that let you get data from Facebook. You can actually test this using a very useful tool. If you click on Tools in Facebook in the header, you can go to API Test Console, and this is where you can run the various Facebook a subset, but almost all methods of the Facebook API. So this includes friends.get, which we saw earlier. This is useful if you're just testing out things. So if you call method, see here, this is in XML, but it's essentially very similar to in PHP. You can get all these UIDs. This is just a list of all my friends' UIDs. And you can do other things. There are a lot of functions, and you can play with them at your leisure. But I'll use fql.query, friends.rfriends, as you can imagine, will tell you whether such and such and such and such are friends. So you can use fql.query to query things from the FQL table. So let's say I wanted to select name from user, the user table, where UID equals, whoever. I'll use my own user ID. And then call method. Yeah, I had to type that millions of times. So you can see here that my name is indeed Keito Uchiyama, and it's got that from the Facebook FQL table user. It's very cool, right? So for example, Mark Zuckerberg's user ID is 4. Oops, so if we type 4, Mark Zuckerberg, see? So there are these very cool things you can do with FQL. And these things, admittedly, you could do without FQL. But for example, you've seen how to match, how to join two tables together in your PSETs, right, in MySQL. You can do the same thing with FQL. So for example, let's see, what's a good table to use? Let's see. Friend might be a good table to use. So friend will tell you if someone is who the friends of someone is, who your friends are. So let's go to fql.query. Oops. fql.query. Whoops. So if we just want to use friend, we can say select friend one, friend two from friend, where friend one equals me. Okay, and now I'm going to call this method, and if I've typed it correctly, no, I have not typed it correctly. Is it UID 2? Okay, thanks. So this is the kind of error you'll get if you do something wrong. Error message is what contains your actual error message. Friend 2 is not a member of the friend table, meaning it's you've got the wrong column name. So UID 2 is what we want, and UID 1, thanks. So this you can look up in the wiki. Okay, so now here we have a list of all my friends. So this is you could do this with friends.get, so it's not very cool. But you can combine this with the user table. So if I want to say select name, comma, UID 2 from friend, from user, comma, friend. Did you cover this in CS50? Do you know what this means? So this means I'll write the whole query first. And UID 1 equals UID 2 equals UID. I think this should work. Oops. From user, select name UID from user friend.
UID 1.
Sorry?
I think UID 1.
UID 1 equals, oh, okay. No, that's a, let's see. If you go to query. All right. It doesn't seem to like from user to friend. Huh. Okay, that's weird.
Names to the friends, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the names.
So UID 1 is you.
UID 1 is, yeah. It just doesn't seem to like this. Sorry about that. Let's see. Oh wait. Yeah, I'm sorry. To do this, you actually have to do it in fql.multiquery, which will essentially let you do subqueries. So it'll let you do one query. So for example, to get all your friends' UIDs, and then from that get your get their names. So if we go back to the wiki, there are some examples of fql.multiquery. Let's see. Oops. fql.multiquery here. So it lets you do things like this. So it lets you set, for example, two queries. In query one, we're selecting the UID and RSVP status from event member. This tells you who is RSVP to an event on Facebook. And it tells you EID is the event ID. And you'll see this in the wiki if you look at it. But basically, every event on Facebook has an event ID. So if you've ever RSVP to an event on Facebook, it's what's after the question mark in the get parameter of the URL. And it lets you set a second query, select name URL pick from profile where ID in the first query, select UID from the first query. What this means is that it gets all the members of the first of the event. And that's stored in query one, and this is a temporary variable. And then in query two, we use the UIDs that we got from query one to get the name and URL and pick of the people who were RSVP'd to the first event. Or not RSVP'd because it includes people who aren't RSVP'd. But basically, it lets you combine these two things, two queries together to achieve more, If you had to do these two things in two queries in different in two separate queries, it would take two round trips to the Facebook server. But by combining these two, you can get quicker performance.
Could you also use a single query at the
end? I think you could use a subquery. The method I was using, an ordinary join, doesn't appear to work, and I must have been dreaming that it did work, but it doesn't. So I think you can use a subquery. We can try that.
Mm-hmm. Select UID 2 from friend or whatever.
Select, let's say, UID name from user where UID in select UID 2 from friend where UID 1 is my user ID. So, let's see, this is Zach's suggestion. Yeah, this will work. So, what we're doing here, this is using a little bit more. Complicated SQL syntax, SQL-like syntax, but it's basically a subquery. It's not very complicated once you look at it. So here we're selecting UID 2 from friend, where UID 1 is me. So it's getting all my friends in one subquery, and then it's retrieving all the UIDs from that and getting the names of all the UIDs that it got. So if you think of this as one array, then it has that array, and then it went through each of the array elements, and then it got the name from the subquery, which was so it's a subset of all my friends. So do you see how this is two queries in one? There's a select here in the middle of a query. Okay, so you can do the same thing in SQL, and this is you can do the same in FQL. You can also implement the same thing in multi-query as well. Okay, so so you can see here that this kind of thing lets you do more in one query than with just friends.get or the other API functions. But it's probably most efficient to first look at the API functions, see what data you can get and what you can do, and then try the FQL table. because it's always in the Facebook platform, it's always the fact that the table is nowadays the table is always implemented first, and then the API is implemented as a wrapper over it. So the table, the API function is always less efficient because it returns more data than you need. But the FQL table is very efficient and quick for write access. So for example, for setting status, for sending people notifications. And such, you do need to use the API functions because there's no write equivalent. There's no insert or update or drop in FQL. Okay, so that's the Facebook API. So I was going to talk about Facebook Connect, but it's very similar to Facebook API, and if you understand Facebook API, it'll be very intuitive. The Facebook Connect lets you allows XFBML, an external website. So we saw that we embedded FBML tags in our Facebook Canvas apps. Now, XFBML lets you embed that in on YouTube or on any website that you control. So it's basically it's a very clever method of using JavaScript to implement the Canvas page on any website you want. And so for example, if you go to, what's a good example? If you go to YouTube, maybe that's not such a good example, because they've done a custom. What's a good Facebook Connect website? There's an example that the Facebook platform team wrote called. The runaround. And here you can see this is a website totally external of Facebook, but it still has this Connect with Facebook button, and if we click it. Oops. Oh yeah, so I'm already logged in, so it's going to log me into the website using my Facebook credentials. And it's totally secure because you as the web developer never get to see the user's password. It's taking its time. Right. Okay, so it's logged me in. It's actually showing who out of my friends have actually used this application. It takes a while for it to load all the profile pics. So these people have used this application and their performance on the website is listed here. So you can see here that they've integrated the Facebook social graph and data that they've, so it's the data that the runaround has generated and data that Facebook has have been combined sort of in a mashup form similar to Google Maps and Google News. So for example, if I wanted to say, where did you go? I went to the fridge and I ran 0 miles to go there on today, whatever the date is, the 8th. 2009, and then publish this run to Facebook and add run. Okay, so it looks like the website isn't working right now. that's unfortunate. So it's basically it'll publish to your own stream what you've been doing on this website. Okay, and you can actually get the source code for this website by going to, I think it's on the wiki somewhere. So a lot of these examples that Facebook has created, you can see the source code. You should check out all of these links that are on the Facebook Wiki main page. Not all of them, but the ones that you're interested in. All of them would take a while. and there are these very interesting things. If you're just going to put a tad, a drizzle of Facebook on your website, then you can actually use things like the new. The demo, is the demo app listed?
Yeah, right above the where your hand is. There.
Oh yeah, try out our demo applications. So yeah, they do have a number of demo applications that are very interesting. The official Facebook demo, this one I think includes the runaround. It doesn't seem to, but there are other simpler examples which you can start off with here. And footprints, which is included with Facebook, the Facebook application library. Oh, here it is, the runaround with sample code. So you can get the sample code from here, from examples here. Those are all the demos. And I wanted to, I think what's most important when working with an external library like the Facebook API is to know where to look for help. Because people around you might not necessarily know the intricate details of the API. So the Facebook Developers Wiki, as I've been pointing out, is very important. It's also the canonical place to look for how functions work and what they do, and FBML tags and such. They're all listed on the main page and on the left bar. The developer forums, you can ask questions of other Facebook application developers and of the Facebook platform team. So if you have a bug to report or something, the developer forums is always a good place. The platform team hangs out there. There's a test consoles, which I've used to demo FQL. That's also very useful if you just want to test out what kind of data is available to you and what kind of syntax you need to use. If you're into IRC, then there's pound Facebook on irc.freenode.net. And then, of course, the CS50 bulletin board is always very useful because there are lots of TFs who've used Facebook platform and other students are using it too. So I wanted to actually end by showing you what I did for my own CS50 final project in 2007. It's called crimsondining.org. And it lets you see menu items from HUDs. And it's not used that much nowadays. It used to be a bit popular. So here's my canvas page, apps.facebook.com/myplate. All right, and see, there's a bug here. But anyway, I'm logged in. And then, for example, let's say I ate the chicken Florentine for dinner tonight. And then you can see, I actually started this project in October of 2007, and I've got data for all of those months and how popular they are. And so, for example, brown basmati rice has always been popular, so it's very interesting to see the trends. And you can actually rate this dish using your Facebook user. So, for example, if I want to say it's terrible, I ate the dish at, Dunster. That might be why it's terrible. Just kidding. very juicy. And then I click rate. And then you can see, if you scroll down, you can see here one person has rated this dish, and I've said it's very juicy. Right. So it's useful. It's very fun when other people are also doing it. And I think if you look at some of the more popular items on the HUDs menu. Do you have a favorite dish?
Clam chowder.
Oh yeah, I like that too. Let's search dishes. So the downside of Canvas apps is that they're a little slow, because it's Facebook that's downloading your website and then you downloading from Facebook. So let's say New England clam chowder. Yeah, and then New England clam chowder, a number of people have rated it, it seems, has 4.5 stars, so it's pretty, it's always very popular. And it's always on Fridays, so it's, if you didn't already know that, then it's very interesting. I've pulled some data from Wikipedia, so there's some mashing up going on there. And you see here, 6 people have rated this dish already, and here's what they've said about it. So this is the kind of thing that you could do with a Facebook application. It's just one of the things, but it's sort of fun, and it's it could be useful and it could be very, very popular too. So that's using the Facebook platform. If you have any questions, you can email me. This is my email address, or use any of the resources that were listed on the final slide. And I'll put up the slides on the CS50 wiki. Do you have any questions?
How complex are we expected to make the app?
I don't know what the actual criteria is, and I can't speak for the staff this year, but it's...
What's the question?
The question was, how complex does the Facebook app need to be if, the final project? I'd say, some... I don't know. Have you looked at the actual the documentation, the PSET? Okay, so I think it's sort of something that's substantial. It's something that's more than just a PSET. Maybe a PSET and a half, that kind of thing. It's a chance to be very creative and it could be very fun. So you could end up spending hours and hours on it, and you might end up with something really good. So it's really up to you what you want to do. Yeah. You have any other questions? Okay, all right, thank you very much.